We are the latest generation of hackers. We grew up playing video games. We were the ones who looked for all the hidden items and figured out cheat codes. We saw what computers could do and thought, I think we can do more. We heard of hackers from the mass media and thought, I want to know exactly how to do what they do. Even as these hackers were made out to be criminals, we still wanted to learn. We eventually found out that hacking is not evil, which settled better with our morals. We're here to share and educate. We are BaseNet Radio.
So that, like...
Hello world, this is Slick Zero, your host, with me today for episode 0x10, or simplified 10, of course, since we're doing this in hexadecimal. And yes, this is BaseNet Radio. With me today is Morbid.
Hey, what up?
And on the phone with us is...
Slade!
Yes, you are Slade. I hope you are. I don't know, it didn't sound like you.
I think I am, I'm not too sure yet.
Okay. Anyway, we have a few sections to the show. And we have quite a few, and we are always looking for more. And any reproduction or retransmission of this material is...
encouraged. Go for it.
So this MP3 is available for download at our website, basenet.slickzero.net. Yeah, well, I guess that means it's about time for our first section. That will begin the news section of BaseNet Radio. In this section, we will be discussing news from this past week in the tech and computer industries, as well as any other news we find relevant to the general idea of hacking. We try to vary our sources, so you may hear something on this show that you may not have heard elsewhere. Also, if you would like to be a BaseNet correspondent, simply send us an email with an audio attachment of yourself doing a report on something of your interest. It could be anything from reading and commenting on tech news, as we usually do most of the time, to reporting on an interesting hack that you may have found or come across. Who has the news first? Who wants it?
I got some stuff that we didn't really cover last week that, I mean, it's not really...
get it out of the way.
Yeah, you might as well get it out of the way. It's nothing that needs to be... It's a product, so it's nothing that needs to be, like, current date-wise. It's okay to say it a week later. Okay, it's about... You know, back in the day, you went to the... went to the movie theaters and you put on the glasses to watch 3D movies.
I never did that, but okay.
Well, you could.
Yeah.
And you get this stupid, ugly red glasses that gave you a headache. And they are extremely uncomfortable to wear. But now...
ugly, fetid blue things that are made out of paper that you can see
on? Yeah, the cardboard things that's like, you got a paper cut from wearing them for the whole thing. Yeah, but,
Morbid's ready to kill me right now. I just put on my Boston Red Sox hat.
With me wearing my Yankee hat?
Yes.
Okay, so... yeah, so Toshiba Corp announced a couple Fridays ago that, They're working on new technology that allows you to view 3D images on a flatbed display without special glasses. So is this kind of going to be like, you know, South Park Bigger, Longer, and Uncut, where they we have the little picture of the world, and then they shoot Bill Gates because Windows 98 isn't faster and more reliable, and it crashes?
Yeah.
Is it going to be
that
like...
was the best part of the movie.
Is it going to be like that, though? It's like you have the display, and you have the... it's kind of like sci-fi-esque, really, where you,
yeah,
where you're sitting there, you're standing around a table, and you're watching like a image there. It's kind of cool.
Okay.
It's like a Star Wars like thing where there's a little projection.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the "Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi. You're my only hope."
Yeah. Technology will be displayed at the first display 2005 International FPD Expo in Tokyo last week. They expect it to be commercialized within 2 years. It's kind of cool. It's based on an integral imaging system that produces light beams that would strike a real or computer-generated object. And once again, it notes glasses are not needed. Special 3D glasses not needed. Blah, blah, blah. Technology allows a 3D image to be visible from angles as wide as 30 degrees from the center of the screen and at ranges of over 30 centimeters.
That's quite interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yep. They're making their own proprietary software that utilizes 10 or more views of an object The current prototype takes 12 or 16, either live-action images or CG images, and which processes and reproduces the image in 3D with a wide view and angle. They also developed middleware and dedicated circuitry that supports fast playback of the images with only a graphics card. They're going to continue to refine the technology, including the integration of touchscreen controls, and plans to, like I said, within 2 years.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
And also, in other news, thank God that stream, that one song in the stream just ended. That was annoying.
I like the one when we first sat down here a couple hours ago, where it was kind of sounded like we're in ancient China or something.
Oh, the one that was like playing for like 5 hours straight?
Yeah, pretty much.
Even though that was only 2 hours. Whatever.
Well, I have some non-news-related news.
Non-news-related news, right.
How does that work?
I don't know.
Because it's pretty much just EDP-related news.
Okay. But that's right. News, still, nonetheless.
Yes, my VidMara t-shirt came in.
Ah, cool.
Yes, but the coolest part is the address. From OmniScan.
What was it?
The address is from OmniScan.
The address was from OmniScan?
From OmniScan.
How
the
is
rest
it?
Of it I can't read out on the air or else someone will get pissed. But, yeah.
So are they just joking around? Is it someone who listens to our show and just thought it'd be funny to say OmniScan sent it? So they could OmniScan the package?
Dude, your package got OmniScan.
That's awesome.
Well, did you do it under the name Slade or Silent Slade?
I wanted to see what would happen.
That's great. I was gonna wait till the new episode come out, see if they still keep that package thing. By the whole thing. I have a couple other episodes, but they're not episodes, bleh, a couple other magazines, but I wanna get the whole set. One big thing.
Then it's cool. I mean, if anyone hasn't gotten their shirt yet, I suggest you do so before they run out. And it comes with a bunch of cool stuff. I think I got the Fourth Amendment tag here, Grimner stickers, an anti RIAA sticker. It's pretty cool stuff.
Cool.
I'll put that on later. Anyway,
this means now that whenever you sell something or send something to someone, you are now obligated to OmniScan them. Doesn't matter what it is. Who cares? OmniScan your family during holiday for holiday cards. I don't care. No one will understand it, but you can still do it.
I mean, that was like the OmniScan snail mail.
I wonder if they're going to OmniScan the new BinRev when that comes out.
They better.
They better.
It's like necessary. It has to be like an OmniScan logo must go on the cover somewhere.
We need to start sticking this thing on mainstream sites. You know? Some popular thing that random people...
It turns out to the U.S. Postal Service. I mean, how much more do you want to go?
Yeah, like, I'm talking about things like where little loser college students go to sites and check out funny videos and whatnot every day, and if we put stuff on there, it might become...
The new thing?
Yeah.
And you would want that?
I think it'd be funny.
Well, yeah, it'd be funny, but I mean...
And then it'll die the way Colin H.
Yeah. Just keep it an underground thing, dude. Yeah. It's funny enough. It doesn't have to be funny. As long as we think it's funny. That's all that matters.
That's true. That is very true.
Because, I mean, it was only, like, what? Like, five of us that were on that train? I mean, oh. Morbid wasn't even there.
No. I don't really use it much, but it's funny. I know what it means.
Anyway, I guess I'll go on to some news. Let's see, where is it? Where's the one I wanted to talk about? Yeah, sorry, I'm kind of doing this on the fly.
Next to the other tab? Between the two tabs over there?
Here's one. It's credit card firms push cybersecurity. In other news, there's crime on the internet. No, I'm just kidding. But let's see. The stricter guideline from MasterCard, Visa, American Express, and other major credit card companies are designed to improve the security practice of online merchants and guard against fraud. Merchants that fall foul of the payment card industry data security standard, damn large acronyms, could face... That's only like six words, though. I just don't want to read the whole thing. Anyway, could face fines. In extreme cases, the ability to process future credit card transactions may be withdrawn, restricting the ability of these firms to trade.
That kind of sucks, but I don't know.
How does that suck?
Well, it sucks for them. But it'd be better.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
But, I mean, if they're not following the standard that's set to actually boost security, then there's something up with that anyhow, you gotta figure, but looking at it from one way.
Yeah, it depends on who's looking at it.
Eh.
Would it cost anything to boost to the standards?
Well, it doesn't say here. I think the security measures are just something that you got to comply with. Something as far, I don't know if it means with the website has to follow, like pass a certain pen test or something, or I have no idea. Mm-hmm. But as long as they're I mean, seriously, would you want to do business with a company that doesn't have a specifically secure, like to a T box that you're buying off of?
I don't have a credit card, so if someone takes the $200 I have in my bank account, it's not the end of the world for me.
Oh, well.
Cause
it'll be the end of, like, all your fun, which is kind of sad.
Yeah, I close the bank account and open a new one.
You'd still be kind of pissed, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'd be mad, but I mean, it's not the end of the world. But that's me. I'm weird when it comes to things like that.
Yeah, I mean, anyway, for people who do, like, that kind of stupid fraud shit, just put it to an unnamed account in the Bahamas where the password belongs to... No, I'm joking. Damn hacker quotes. Been watching that movie, like, past few weeks. Non-stop.
Yeah, every, like, 5 minutes you start quoting.
Yeah, that's not healthy, probably.
Oh, but Slick, also, did you know that we landed on the moon?
We did?
Yeah.
Oh, the Pope was Catholic, by the way.
Really?
Yes.
I had no idea.
I wonder what the running gag is for this episode. Anyhow.
And did you hear about this new big issue that's coming up?
What's that?
Y2K.
Y2K?
Yeah.
Oh my god, when's that happening?
I don't know. It's kind of like Cinco de Mayo. When is that?
5th of May, you would assume.
No, remember when we saw the sign, which is the 7th?
Cinco de Mayo, party 7th.
Yep.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, you know, you figure you'd take off or something like that, but no.
Maybe it's not a big enough holiday to take off.
Oh, shit! I'm actually going to be off that day.
You are?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to be back up at school for that weekend.
Okay. Oh, I have to mention something now, before I forget later. There is going to be no Distro of the Week this week.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Yes, because Echo is a hooker.
Yeah.
And he had to go. A client came in just as he was about to judge the distro. So, you know.
Business is business. Yeah, I have to make money somehow.
No, seriously,
you
though.
Pay for the subscription bill, man. What was that, $32,000 a year or something?
Apparently, he was insistent on using, what was it? The VMware that he had on his computer that doesn't run on 2611, mm-hmm. but runs on 2610.
And he has 2611.
He has 2611. He has both, probably. Just different kernels that load up on boot. But, I don't know. I guess he just really didn't want to reboot. Because he was trying to get a new VMware, but whoever packaged it and named it as a Linux VMware, he ended up just getting an EXE file.
Which, of course, is a Windows binary.
So he should send it to me.
And it wasn't... What was that?
So he should send it to me.
Send it to you. Well, your laptop doesn't run... Oh, your laptop doesn't. Oh,
no, my laptop
right.
doesn't. But, yeah.
Well, you really can't blame that, though. It's final week. He's got all that work to do.
Yeah, I'm not blaming him. I'm blaming the guy who packaged the torrent.
Yeah, the guy who packaged the torrent is a retard. You don't say it's the Linux version and pop an EXE in there.
By the way, piracy is wrong. It's bad. Don't do it. Echo, you better get a working copy of VMware there. VMware. Okay. Blah. Yeah.
Oh, you guys are
horrible. Okay, let's see. Okay, I got something again from last week, which I wanted to cover, but we didn't. I don't know if people know about this, but, you know that big place in the east there, China?
Where?
China.
Never heard of it.
In the east.
No.
6 billion people, you know?
Oh, China.
3 billion people.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah. Well, of course, they have the second largest internet population after the U.S. But they...
I thought they were larger than the U.S.
internet usage.
Oh, internet usage. Oh, yeah, I thought you meant usage. Just population
in
general.
No, their population is half the size of the world.
Yeah.
It's half the world population, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, they're doing a kind of crappy thing where, since they're the communist bastards, they're filtering whatever they do not deem, topics deemed sensitive.
Holding urge. It's commie bullshit. Damn it. I had to quote the hackers.
So, pretty much, yeah. So, it's not like they're being like, oh, I typed in a website, and it's like, this page is blocked, you can't use it, so you knew it actually existed. Or okay. You type in an actual topic, like Tiananmen Square, and it's like, it's not gonna say, like, oh, you're not allowed, this is banned material, and they're not allowed to use it. It will just, if you're in China, it never existed.
Ooh.
Tiananmen what?
Exactly. So anything that China's government deems not really nice for them never really existed in internet's concern. And you have to think that half the second largest internet population country-wise.
China is at war with the internet. China was always at war with the internet.
Is completely ignorant to what's actually there.
Okay.
That kind of peeved me a little.
A little? Yeah, they're having major issues with their...
Oh, Google's also kind of going along with them. They're trying to test something. Their Chinese language news service for Google, they're leaving out results which are from the government banned sites list.
Okay.
Interesting. Is that only to China, though?
It says government...
I hope so.
Google has acknowledged this Chinese language news... Has... Yeah. Introduced on a test basis last fall, leaves out results from government banned sites, though the company says it is done so users won't end up clicking on links that lead nowhere because of the Chinese filters.
Interesting.
Yeah. They said they're constantly changing, which keeps users off. The filters are constantly changing to keep its users off balance.
Okay. Okay, well, that topic's pretty much dead.
Yeah.
Because everybody probably heard of it, and it's an ongoing topic as it is, anyhow.
Yeah.
Well, I do have something for that neighborhood, since we already talked about China.
Okay.
I can bring that up right here. All right. It's just that it's Hong Kong, which, of course, is technically, UK territory since 1997, and then now it's Chinese.
Am I the only one who can't hear what he's saying?
No, I can't either.
What are you saying, Slade?
Okay, I'm pretty much saying that this is news out of Hong Kong. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sadly, this is a Verizon phone, too, which means, actually, we should say no.
Well, I finally got you. Anyway.
Well, we are inside, and, according to the Verizon guy, we shouldn't be able to use our cell phones inside. It's just like, who would think that it would happen, It's not possible. It just won't happen. No, a few weeks ago, there was a report that the guy from Verizon was...
You're not supposed to be able to use your cell phone indoors. What, are you crazy?
Yeah, do people really think that?
I'm just going to segue for a second. How fast is your internet connection at home, guys?
How fast is the internet connection here?
Yeah, what's the fastest you've ever clocked it going down?
Clocked it down going at about, I think fastest, not in bursts, but
continuous
was 1 megabit. 1 megabyte, I'm sorry, 1 megabyte a second.
1 megabyte a second, that's a lot.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, I've clocked it at 12 in the middle of the night. 1.2 megabytes per second.
Okay. That's
but
nice.
But it's nothing compared to what they're doing in Hong Kong. Okay, they just launched a service for £112 a month. When you translate that down, that's like, what?
Yes,
It's $214 American a month. But you get 1 gigabit per second down.
Wasn't this just playing before this song?
Yeah, it was. Some really put it back on. In any case, 1 gigabit per second down. Think about that. That's insane.
That's nice.
Would you even use that much?
North Americans are rarely struggling with 1 megabit.
I would use that much. Are you kidding?
Well, I would. But...
screw buying DVDs, right? Right?
Huh?
Right, people, piracy's wrong?
As long as they're from legitimate sources. Legitimate intern. Huh?
You can download a DVD in under 10 seconds. That's
kind of pretty. Pretty.
In any case, I don't know why I'm not living in Hong Kong and enjoying this fast internet connection. But I think I should be. But then again, considering that they have the firewall and all that filter.
Yeah, okay. About that.
Yeah, so it's kind of a give and take situation.
Yeah, you got all this fast internet connection, all the world is available to you, except for the filter out. Huh.
Yeah, so which is everything interesting.
Exactly. So you can download manuscripts really fast. Well, in any case, there's something really cool to check out. Who's the provider here? Hong Kong Broadband Network. That's the name. Not very creative. But it's really cool. You can check it out. I found the article at pro-g.co.uk. And they're pretty much whining and complaining over there why they don't have 1 gig per second.
Okay.
Which is a valid point. You know, why don't we have 1 gig per second? But for $200-something a month, I guess it's
you could. If you pay for it, you could have anything.
For $200-something a month, you can buy it in your house and share it with everyone in your building.
Yeah, really.
And charge them.
And charge them, right, exactly. Become a broadband reseller.
As Morbid unzips his jacket, and everybody hears it now.
Wow, that didn't sound good.
No, that's why I just started laughing.
AOL, who wants to hear about AOL?
I don't.
No.
No, nobody does? Okay.
We'll do it anyway.
Then we'll skip it.
No, then
we'll talk about the next best thing. Microsoft to launch 64-bit Windows. Actually, they have today. It will be tomorrow when you're listening to this. It will be yesterday when you're listening to this. But, yeah.
Yeah, it's today, right? The 64-bit Windows XP release.
Yeah, how long ago was it that 64-bit chips were actually supported in the Linux kernel? Two years ago?
Before the beginning of time?
Before the beginning.
Really? No, they thought that far ahead?
Wow.
Good for them.
Yeah, dude. When has Linux support been on 64-bit chips?
We're asking you.
I said that backwards. Go on.
That's what we're asking you.
System cache size jumps from 1 gig to 1 terabyte, and paging file size increases from 16 terabytes to 512 terabytes.
Lord,
oh, come on. Why do you need that for a paging files? Shouldn't you all know 640K of RAM is all you'll ever need? Really? I mean, come on, Bill. Come on.
See, now, the cool thing about this is that, you know, we finally have people who can actually use their 64-bit processors for some use.
So why didn't you...
Not that many apps are built for 64-bit processors, fully.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So why don't you just wait a little? They will come down in price, so why get them when they come out right away?
Yeah.
You should just...
It's there if you need it, if you want to try it out. I'm sure there's a way you can get a hold of it. I remember I have a copy of 2003 server 64-bit, which has been released quite a while ago. But I don't know if that was an official copy or if it was beta.
Ah, well, speaking of stuff like that, pre-release people can pre-release pirates can receive jail time now.
Oh, yeah?
Up to 3 years. They're working on pushing a bill through which can imprison pre-release file pirates for up to 3 years. It's pretty close to happening. The bill is called the Family Entertainment and Copyright Act of 2005, and it also includes the Artist Rights and the Theft Prevention Act of 2005.
So what's going to happen to the scene?
The what?
You haven't seen that yet? The scene?
No.
I know Slate has.
Oh, man, I've been watching people.
Maybe that's what it's about. Maybe that's why they made the scene.
Oh, also, the bill also would permit companies like Clearplay to edit films for language and content.
Why?
That talk about destroying what the director of the whatever, create the person who made it, like creation, If you just go in there and butcher it however they deem is proper for society. Never mind. Okay. That's a whole nother. We could fill like 3 shows worth just on that topic alone.
Yeah, seriously.
And then we'll cut down a 2-hour movie to 1.5 hours so they can squeeze in a 30-minute preview. Yay!
Yeah, that's just what we need.
Okay, so let's see. The bill, which is waiting signature from our favorite big guy up there, President Bush, would assign the same penalties to users who trade pre-release works as others who violate copyright laws. Technically, isn't it violating copyright laws, just not released yet? Okay, under Section 506A of Title 17 of the U.S. Code, individuals who, during any 180-day period, trade one or more copies of phono records or of one or more copyrighted works which have a total retail value of more than $1,000 may be imprisoned for up to 3 years or 6 years for a second offense.
Wow.
Up to how many years? 30?
No, 3.
Did you mean records? Phono records?
Yes.
Okay. Because you said records.
I know. the reading and the stuff don't work well with me.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, what... I forget what I was going to say after I noticed that.
Specifically, blah, blah, this FECA is designed to go after users who camcord a movie in a movie theater by bringing a digital movie camera, blah, 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 you know what, you know how it's done. That kind of
blank sucks.
Yeah.
That kind of insert random word here. Oh, I have more MPAA kind of news.
Ooh, yeah.
Those motion picture bastards. I don't know if you guys have been in the city during rush hour ever. Happened.
Yeah.
No.
Have you ever been to 42nd Street where you see the, like, I don't want to be racist, the ethnic people selling DVDs?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, aren't they always there?
They're forever there.
Yeah. Then why does it have to be during rush hour?
That's when they do, like, during rush hour? That little tunnel, like on 42nd Street, that goes down to the 7 train, is packed with them.
What, okay. Do they go window to window? Seriously,
it's like wall to wall, bootlegs, all those, like, you can't possibly walk anywhere without running into or possibly stepping on a bootleg DVD. Well, you know, New York City Police Force has been heavily arresting them, you know, confiscating all their bootleg goods. And as a matter of fact, 2 police officers from here in New York City are actually under investigation by Internal Affairs for allegedly taking cash payoff from the MPAA for doing this.
Interesting.
Yeah, this is in the New York Post on April 22nd, which is a couple days ago. And in any case, this is really fucked up. They were from Staten Island. They were moved over to the 122nd precinct now, and they're under investigation. Supposedly, they've been doing this for quite a while, and God knows how much money they made. So the MPAA is now, what, paying off the local police force to stop copyright infringement?
Interesting.
Which is illegal.
Yeah, that's...
So they're pretty much, they're not paying them off, they're giving them a tip for doing their job.
Man, my ass. Like a $400 tip.
Yeah, it's still a tip, it's just, you do it on how much you can afford.
So I'm guessing that's what all the lawsuit cash payoff settlements are going to. They're going back into the police force.
Oh, well.
Because there's those $1,000 settlements that people are going for have to go somewhere, don't they?
Yeah, they go into the people who run the place's pocket.
Yeah, pretty much. All right. I gotta go for a second, so you guys continue.
Okay. Let's see. Speaking of, I mentioned AOL before.
Yeah.
They, says AOL toughens campaign against Fishers. Isn't that kind of interesting, being that it kind of took them, like, let's see, how long was it? It took them, like, 15 years to actually try to tighten some of their security on something that's, like, so common among AOL?
Well, I guess they figured that if they still had the customers and they weren't leaving, they didn't need to do anything about it. But now that they're losing customers, they figure they might try to salvage what they got.
Whatever. What do they have?
Some people are who don't realize they can get email addresses and the same special features everywhere else.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I just wanted to make that small comment on that article, because it's like, it's AOL. You don't need I say more.
I have a couple things on... What the hell was
Anybody
that?
Anybody hear that?
That was me unmuting. Relax.
Oh, you muted. I thought you hung up. Okay, so I've a story on our one of our popular story topics with yet more features, which I'm sure you can guess what this is.
No, actually.
Google.
Oh, them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Some more features. Okay.
What now?
Now you can look up your own search history.
Oh, yeah, that.
Yeah.
Do you need some type of client software on your end?
Experiment in a new feature that enables users of its online search engine to see all of their past search results and requests and results, creating a computer people that could prove as embarrassing as it is helpful.
Maybe through cookies?
Yeah, I don't know.
Does it explain how?
I don't know. Unveiled Wednesday afternoon at labs.google.com requires users to create a personal login with a password. Users of Google's email, discussion groups, and answer options can simply use their existing logins. The service allows users to decide if they want Google to automatically recognize them without having to log in each time, if they use the same computer, or if they prefer to log in time, blah, blah, blah. It's in the right-hand corner of Google's homepage. Okay. Whenever a user logs in, Google will provide a detailed look at all their past search activity. The service also includes a pause feature that prevents it from being displayed in the index. Well, you'll be able to pinpoint a search conducted on a particular day using the calendar that's displayed in the history page. The service sometimes will point out a past search result related to new search requests. Google's hoping that the service becomes so valuable that people will use its search engine even more frequently than they already do, giving the company more opportunity to display text-based ads that boost its profit.
Speaking of Google, if you're done with that.
Yeah, I'm done with this one.
This was actually from last week, or the week before, rather. Run Linux on Gmail.
Right.
That was on Hackaday. It says, yes, you read right. It's possible to install Linux on Gmail.
Yeah, I think you got that backwards. It's more like installing Gmail on Linux.
No, it says it's possible to install Linux on Gmail in the sentence here. Some Python...
Yeah, no, but the title is misleading. I read the entire article. It's kind of weird.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the way it works is you set up, I think it's libgmail... And what is the other half of it?
F-U-S-E. Fuse.
F-U-S-E, yes, Fuse, and is it libgmail, am I right?
Libgmail, yeah, that was
right. Libgmail, right? Libgmail pretty much communicates with Gmail server.
Okay.
And Fuse to put a virtual file to come on your drive so you can put it into a folder somewhere. And you're pretty much using the Gmail account as an extra 2.25 gig hard drive.
However big Gmail is at this point.
Yeah, exactly. 2.x. Yeah. Or 3x by time. Who knows?
Eventually.
Yeah, so, you know, everyone has, 100,000 invites that you can give away?
Really?
You can invite yourself 10 times, and bam, you have 20 gigs.
Isn't that nice of them?
Mm-hmm. That is nice of them.
Well, there are...
Yeah, some limitations apply, though, because you remember Gmail has a transfer limit. About 10 megabytes per email. That limits your file size a bit.
Good
for storing a shit ton of MP3s, though.
That's true. Nice remote storage for free. Anyway, who had their computer try to be hacked recently?
You did.
I know.
Apparently, somebody was ping sweeping my network block and came across to my open SSH port. And they just tried every single login in the book. Which, it was, I mean, you know, just like a basic dictionary attack, and I guess commonly used passwords. Speaking of, do you know the four most commonly used passwords?
Yes, I do.
What are they?
Love, sex, secret, and God.
Very good. Very good. But what about Kermit?
Kermit?
Kermit, yeah.
Kermit the Frog?
You don't remember that one? Oh, no, maybe it's just that I've been watching it so much that I, when Nikon's looking at the keyboard with the passwords that people are typing in, the two that the camera actually showed were Kermit and God.
Well, the Kermit isn't a commonly used one. It just happened to be caught.
Yeah, it just happened to be caught. Actually, no, the probably the four most commonly used passwords are admin.
Default.
And
administrator.
Nothing, just like, yeah, administrator and blank. That's probably more common than God.
Password.
Password, yeah, nah. That's another one.
Don't forget QWERTY.
Nah.
For lazy people.
Yeah,
that'd be more ASDF.
But anyway, that doesn't say what I did about this person trying to dictionary that. I decided, you know what, instead of just killing SSHD or stopping the port forwarding on my router, I'm like, you know what, I want to have some fun before I kill SSHD. So I went into the SSHD configuration file. I'm like, let's see, what can I do? Ooh, I could set a banner on login. Mess with the best, die like the rest. So then the next few times they tried names, it popped up mess with the best, die like the rest, after I restarted SSHD, of course. And then I just closed SSHD. So they must, if they actually were looking at it and weren't using some program or some script or something, they must have spelt totally pwned.
Oh, that's funny.
Considering that they tried multiple times, I'm pretty sure it was a script.
Yeah, but if they checked the logs on it.
The simple things amuse us.
Yeah.
He's been watching that a little too much.
Oh, no, God.
I don't think so.
I've seen it so many times, I don't remember when what part I actually watched up to earlier this week. Because I turned it on to watch when I went to sleep. And I don't remember the part. I remember I fell asleep, but I don't remember where, because I know every single part of the movie. And I can't pinpoint what part I stopped watching.
Alright. Hold on again, guys. I'll be back.
Okay. Let's see. One more thing on Google before we say goodbye to it for the day. They're going to add some more another type of ad program where it's changing. You know, it used to be ads. You got paid for the number of clicks that they got.
Right.
They're trying to change it for is instead not the clicks, the amount of times the ad is shown.
Okay.
Yeah. So they plan to roll out called site targeting over the next few weeks. It's a new ad program where advertisers can target ads to specific sites in Google's ad network. And yeah, so that's just one more thing that Google's just pushing out of that.
And I guess you're back, Slade.
Yeah,
pushing out of that think tank that they have working there.
That's insane, though. Do you know how many times ads are viewed without being clicked?
Yeah. That's probably why they're doing it.
That's not going to fly too well. People are going to get a lot of ads, and they're not going to get any hits at all.
Oh, well.
No, I'm sorry. The people will still... they'll probably get the same amount of hits.
Oh, yeah, but
because people will still...
Because it's past the pause.
Whatever.
I don't know if that's a very good career move. That sounds a lot more like sort of what Zank was talking about on the show last week, saying that, you know, if they're going to start listening to their stockholders and not to their own brain.
Well, I think right now Google can afford to have a bomb in there because they've been doing pretty well with their features. They can afford to have a dud.
Yeah.
They're trying it out. It's not going to be permanent right now. It's something they're trying.
Yeah, it's nuts. That's what I think. I mean, a lot of small vendors will not be able to afford that.
Well, it's not the only thing they're going to offer. It's just one of their ad things they're going to offer. I guess it depends on, like, the size of the company. I don't know. Maybe, who knows? Maybe they put it in more, in better, like, in sites which have usually more hits than others. I don't know. Who knows? It's just something that they're coming out with more. No.
Maybe.
Anyhow, shall we get on from Google?
Yeah, let's leave them alone.
There was a new release this past week.
This week?
This week.
Of what?
Of GCC. Hmm. It hit 4.0.
It's a major improvement.
Apparently so. The description says it's going to be a lot faster, especially C++ and Java. Whatnot will be compiled much faster. Was it Java, though, the other one? I know C++ was supposedly much faster, but I haven't gotten a chance to try it out, but it seems like it... I don't know. We'll see how long it takes to get it actually put in and used on many distributions and whatnot. But, because I remember when 2.8 or 9 or something was still being, probably 2.95 or 2.85 or something like that, was still commonly used on most distros when 3 came out, and it wasn't until maybe like 3.4 or something that many of them were by that point on 3. And I think 3.4 is what came out now. Yeah, that was current before 4.0. 4.0 came out now. Okay. I know what I mean. That's all that matters.
I know what you mean, too.
Okay, good.
It'll be alright. Well, in any case, if anyone wants to try it with a shot, it's available all over the place. I've seen mirrors for it everywhere.
Well, it's GNU, so just go to GNU.org, I guess.
Right, GNU.org. Might be even on SourceForge, isn't it?
Probably. I mean, there's probably mirrors all over the place. It is GCC, for God's sake.
Exactly. GCC the whole thing. It's like everything's dependency. Let's see. What else we got going on this week?
Let's see. I know what's happening this week.
What's that?
Actually, it's not this week. I lied. I know what's happening soon.
What's happening soon?
On the 30th, June 30th, Microsoft kind of screwing over their largest... Well, like a huge chunk of their users.
Again?
Yes, again! Remember how they did it last, like, a month or two ago with NT?
Oh, now, they're cutting off support for one of their things?
2,000, both, yeah.
Pro and server?
Client and server. 2,000 is gone.
Ugh.
Support. Of course, it was two life cycles. The extended one, you can get support, but for a nominal fee. Yes.
Down from my ass.
Yes. Yes. So yeah, they kind of enjoy leaving their customers out in the dark.
Yeah, if you're not paying for their it registers you or die kind of.
Okay. Wait. Here's the thing. You know how recently Microsoft has been doing this big like FUD war against Linux.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Morbid, you don't know what FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they've been launching all these things like, oh, Microsoft is less cost of total cost of ownership. And, well, I mean, if you think about it, when you get Linux, you get support with Linux. And you get constant upgrades. So you could keep upgrading with it. And, I mean, sure, you have to pay for support and whatnot, and somebody who knows what they're doing, but you get support for an extended period of time, you know what I mean? It's not like Microsoft, where it's like, 2000, you've had that OS for 5 years, fuck you. It does. It's not like that. It's just why they bought your product 5 years ago, so it's like, oh, 5 years. That's way too long.
Yeah,
they have to buy our new thing
right
now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like what?
I mean, no one wants to switch from 2000. It was a stable release. I mean, that's why people still use Debian, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's why they're doing it, because if so many people have kept 2000, because it's, like, their best... It's their best attempt so far at Windows. So they want them to start going to the buggier stuff that they need to replace every now and then.
Huh. 2000
was
too good, is what you're saying?
Huh? Yeah, well, for Microsoft quality.
For Microsoft standards, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Slade, you said a lot of people are still using Debian, but are they using Sid or Sarge, or are they using Woody?
Woody.
Really? A lot of people still use Woody?
Yeah.
Jeez, that's got to be on, like...
They just released another update to Woody, like, 15 years ago.
What's that?
Woody's their older, stable version of Debian. Sarge is supposedly the new version.
Oh, so the names.
And Sid is in development or experimental.
Oh, okay.
Exactly. And it's going to be that way forever, it seems. So,
yeah, it's always going to be like that, but, I mean, it's going to take them time to keep... It obviously takes them a long time with their release cycle, but this isn't really distro of the week. We have no distro of the week, so we'll move on to something else.
Well, we can always use the one that Morris, didn't you have one last week?
Yeah, I do.
You still have it?
Somewhere over here, but then I had to read my highlighting job, which is 75. I actually highlight 75% of the article.
You should just highlight where you're not.
Yeah, but did we actually check out this distro, or is it just an article on the distro?
It's just an article on the distro. So I didn't really check it out. So
we'll just make Echo do two next week.
We'll have Echo check this one out at some point.
Yeah, he'll do that one along with the one he was trying to do, but whatever happened.
Okay, well, I wanted to mention something before I forget, because it's something I've been using for the last couple of weeks, and I think it's worth a mention. We do a lot of web surfing here on this show, especially for, news aggregating and stuff, to bring content out on the air. And one thing that you guys both know, but listeners might not, is that I really hate advertising. Every time I see an ad, I'm always clicking it and ad blocking it in my Firefox browser.
Mm-hmm.
But recently, I've been having an influx of those Micromedia Flash ads that just don't die. Which is why I started looking through, all the other alternatives and extensions, and I found this extension on mozdev.org,
mm-hmm.
mozdev.org, called Flash Block. It's an incredible plugin. It's actually an extension that you put into your Firefox browser, and every time a Flash will try to load, it'll put a little Macromedia logo and a play button on there instead of the whole Flash thing. So you choose when it starts, and it won't interfere or bother you. It won't launch any its own sounds or music or anything else, and it won't fly across the screen in its unholy Santa Claus Reindeer glory like it did the old days. So it's really great extension. It finishes off the work that AdBlock doesn't get done, because I know there are certain ads in Flash that AdBlock just can't reach.
Okay.
So if anyone wants, just check it out. It's really, really well done.
Drop the link in the chat room.
Yes,
I'll
please
drop
do.
The link in the chat right now. Everyone should install this in the chat room right now. Now, I warn you, it's not an official Firefox release, mm-hmm. so you're going to have to add mozdev.org to your allowed extensions list. You're also to upgrade Flash or do anything else with Flash to reinstall Flash Blocks, because it might break.
Oh, well, that's
yeah.
That could be a pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm. It could be, but that's what what happens.
Yeah.
Why did you leave the room?
Who leave? Oh, did I accidentally hit X?
Yeah, you left.
Oops, my bad.
Okay, just make sure.
Yeah, I'm fine. Don't worry.
I thought you clicked the link and crashed. I was like, uh-oh.
No. Okay.
Yeah, anyway, check out if anyone is out there. mozdev.org. Look for Flash Blog. Install it. Give it a shot. And if you really hate it, then you can always just remove the extension. You'll be fine.
Well, I'm back in the chat, by the way. If you didn't notice already.
No, I think all the listeners did.
Yeah.
Put on like that.
All the listeners heard you all popping.
Anyhow.
Yeah. So, okay. Everyone here in the news, non-tech related news, had last week. That cruise ship got kind of smashed on the side in the water.
Oh, right.
And
The Ellingson fleet, right?
Yeah, so, yeah. No.
No.
Cruise ship, not oil tanker.
Yeah.
So they're planning to do that to a bunch of nerds now.
Huh?
C-Code is trying to find a cheap way to do programming and whatnot, isn't it? I think I was talking to you about this earlier. Software company, C-Code, wants to do floating offshore operation. They'll stick about 600 world-class software engineers to write code on a boat. About 3.1 miles off the coast of Los Angeles.
Yeah, I heard about that. Just so it would not have to fall under any, government taxes and whatnot, or...
yep.
Any of that stuff for that matter.
Its ship-shape operation will provide convenient access for U.S. businesses, revenue that flows stateside rather than overseas, and unsurpassed physical and virtual security, including the protection of the U.S. intellectual property laws. It's cheap. We'd write to the cheap list program, blah, blah, blah. The... Yeah, so.
Right.
Slick knows more about this than I do.
I do?
Yeah. I said one thing and you said, oh, this thing, blah, 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 blah. So that's pretty much all we know about it, though.
Oh.
Right, they're sticking a bunch of nerds in a boat. And they're gonna get seasick and throw up on their computers and break them.
Why don't we just hack the Gibson? Next week I will have a Gibson here. You will hear it too and everything.
Oh, are you gonna?
Yes, I'm going to have a Gibson here. So,
how's Slade the phone system you're working on?
It needs more RAM.
is that what you found out by working on it?
Yeah, that's what I found out by working on it. It doesn't have enough RAM to do what I needed to do.
Are we going to have a review
It's running on an old, ancient 128 megabyte RAM chip.
Are we going to have a review on it at some time?
Yes, as soon as it's freaking working, we'll be having a review.
Anyway, should we get on to the next section? You got any more articles, Slade? Or Morbid?
I have articles. We don't need to use them.
Okay, they're all just filler.
I have some stuff. I'm sorry.
Okay, go.
Going on here.
Go right ahead.
I'm not used to being home and people harassing here. The Flash Watch. Oh, here's a good one. Microsoft.
Who are they?
Doing something that isn't very normal for them. They're teaming up with Samsung, and they've created a different kind of hard drive than what we're used to.
Okay.
This is an HHD, not just an HD. It's a hybrid hard drive. What it does is it has the regular platter, the magnetic platter with all the information on it.
Right.
It also has a flash memory buffer. So it has 1 gig of flash memory, not just like 5 megabytes of cache or something. We're talking like 1 gig.
That could speed quite a few things up very well.
Speed a lot of things up. That'll be, I mean, except for a DVD quality movie file, I really don't open that many things that are bigger than a gig.
That'd be great for swap type stuff.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing for swap stuff.
Video, editing would be...
They're thinking of implementing this for where it's needed most, which is where we're talking for laptops.
Okay.
Where the less the same thing has to spin, the more battery life you save.
Right.
So they're going there first, and hopefully we'll be seeing this shipping for home PCs as well. Looks like the first drives are going to begin shipping in late 2006, so you got to wait a year and change. But that's still a sweet invention.
Do they say how much they're expected to cost?
Sure, it's not just a requirement for their WinFS, whenever the hell that's going to come out.
Let's hope not. If WinFS is 1 gigabyte of swap space, I'm scared.
Do they say how much it's actually going to be around cost-wise?
There is no cost at all in the article. Trust me, I look.
Uh-huh.
I'm pretty sure it's going to be expensive, and most likely it'll probably be SATA instead of just regular ATA.
Mm-hmm.
So, but again, it's late 2006. They're just working on it. It's still in prototype mode, but it should be out, and we should keep an eye on it. So, if any of you guys see it, just mention it on the show and give an update on the price.
Okay, I'll look around for that. I saw the article earlier in the day, but I didn't pick it up.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I saw it twice, and then I got curious, and ended up picking on it. Okay.
Anyway,
I just had one quick thing, which I wanted to throw in, because concerning the fact that our stream is usually Nintendo music.
Yeah.
Broadcom announced...
I hate them.
Today, Monday, that is partnering with Nintendo to provide wireless technology for Nintendo's next generation gaming system. Their new console, codenamed Revolution, will feature an advanced wireless platform that integrates multiple technologies to enable a new and exciting gaming experience.
You mean 8 screens?
Broadcom can suck my balls.
Those technologies are likely to include Broadcom's broad range extension and secure easy setup automatic security configuration elements.
Broadcom, Broadcom, you could suck my balls. You make you do the Wi-Fi card for Apple PowerBooks, and Nvidia, you can as well, because I can't get advanced acceleration on PPC chipset on Linux. So yeah, both you suck. Okay, continue. We don't have much time.
Oh, okay. Well, that was it. I just don't understand why you need a range extension for a video
you don't
game console. Usually you're in a room, and that's a you don't need that much range. Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. I remember once upon a blue moon, Nintendo used to make interesting peripherals and gaming systems.
Like the glove?
Like the glove, like the robot that used to, like, interact with you.
I never knew that.
I remember that.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, the robot was a very limited kind of thing. The pad that you step on or pound on with your fist if you were lazy.
Oh, well, yeah, let's move on, okay?
Yeah, now they got these crappy things. Lenny was on.
All right, it's time for the next section. Okay, we are back now. And that section is the mail section because, well, we got mail and stuff.
Sweetness.
The first mail, actually, as I read in his blog, he already commented and B got back to him and was thankful. But if you don't know what I'm talking about, Deviant Bastard, the guy who has a cigarettesandbeer.com, said he was surprised to hear that his comments were messed up in the website and whatnot. And he wanted to thank B, so thanks, B. Anyway, to the next comment. Slater, are you still there?
I'm here.
Oh, okay, just making sure. Next comment was... hi, I've been listening for a while, and I just want to say this is a good show. Something I found is that HP has Omniscanned themselves. They have a product called the Omnibook. Hehe. Anyway, just wanted to say hi and that I like the show. Well,
All right,
how old is the Omnibook?
It's been around for a while.
Yeah. Anyway, first comment on Hacker Media is that there was a double HTTP :// in link. And, well, the first post was by Slade. And then he said, thank you, it's been corrected. Then I redid the post and commented, special thanks to Silent Slade for screwing up the first version of this post in more ways than one. He then says it was his morning time and Slick's instructions were utterly devoid of important info. In any case, I hope everyone enjoys the show this week. My next comment was, maybe you're just not 1337 enough to know how to do something as simple as post Hacker Media. It's self-explanatory, noob. This comment makes me look like such a loser. Then he said, slash me equals noob. On the bright side, I made the show notes funny. Then Yelseeb said, children, stop fighting. I then said, okay, I'll sit in the timeout chair now. And so it said, it was playful banter. Don't worry, it happens all the time. Sits in corner. And then, this is an email. Okay. Buenos dias, Lico, Silent Slate, Echo, DMAT, and Morbid. Just wanted to say you guys have a great show, and it keeps me entertained at work, and I enjoy the show. Your sound quality is amazingly good compared to most other syndicasted shows. Are you guys in an actual studio, someone's apartment, or what? If you're in someone's apartment, what's the address so I can tell the feds? Just kidding. Well, it's not... It's a basement, thus a base net, and... And it's a studio, I guess, you could say.
Yeah.
We'll get pictures up at one point.
And that's for the apartment, I guess, yeah. I'm currently in one, so if you want to send a text over, ask them to bring some liquor with them, because I'm all out.
Okay.
Yeah. Fair enough. You should have came last night, then.
Anyway, it seems just a couple hours ago, we got another comment on Hacker Media from our good pal, UT Crazy. Asking, what program are you using to set buttons to play different sounds? Is there any programs you can recommend for doing such things for Windows? I was also wondering how you did the radio effect, the echoing and whatnot, on the fly. Thanks. I commented back to him, well, the VSC virtual sound card, vsc.slickzero.net, is the thing, and what's
the
not?
The echoing effect, however, that's a little more expensive.
Well, the echoing effect, you could get a Latspa plugin to do the same thing, honestly.
True.
But, I mean, this, like, I'm a sound Nazi, so I had to have the uber-expensive $700 one that actually, like, sounds like... I'm a sound Nazi.
Like you're
yeah. Need I say more? I need to have this real good... It also does on-the-fly pitch correction and whatnot. So, if any singers I'm recording really suck, I can use that to make them sound all right.
Share-like.
Yeah, share like if you really get the attack on that low. But anyhow, yeah. And Kizzle just posted recently.
Really?
Actually, within 10 minutes ago.
Sweetness.
Saying, what is a vocal processor usually used for? $700 is a lot for silly voice effects. Does it come in handy for making music or something? Yes, it does. I'll comment to that later, because we have no time left.
Oh.
Aww.
Anyway, that's the end of this week's BassNet Radio. If you have any questions, comments, flames, BassNet@slickzero.net. Not much else to say. Up next, if you're listening to this on DDP Hack Radio, is BinRev Radio. Shouts to Stank. He shouted us last week. He pimped the show quite a bit.
Oh, yeah, that was... Wow, that was very...
Anyway, goodbye.
Thanks. Omniscan.